The scripture reading this morning is from 2 Kings, chapter 2, verses 1 through 15, which can be found in your pew Bible on page 290. Hear the word of the Lord. Now, when the Lord was about to take Elijah up to heaven by a whirlwind, Elijah and Elisha were on their way from Gilgal. Elijah said to Elisha, "Stay here, for the Lord has sent me as far as Bethel." But Elisha said, "As the Lord lives and as you yourself live, I will not leave you." So they went down to Bethel. The company of prophets who were in Bethel came out to Elisha and said to him, "Do you know that today the Lord will take your master away from you?" And he said, "Yes, I know. Keep silent." Elijah said to him, "Elisha, stay here, for the Lord has sent me to Jericho." But he said, "As the Lord lives, and as you yourself live, I will not leave you." So they came to Jericho. The company of prophets who were at Jericho drew near to Elisha and said to him, Do you not know that today the Lord will take your master away from you?" And he answered, "Yes, I know. Be silent." Then Elijah said to him, "Stay here, for the Lord has sent me to the Jordan." But he said, "As the Lord lives and as you yourself live, I will not leave you." So the two of them went on. 50 men from the company of prophets also went and stood at some distance from them, as they both were standing by the Jordan. Then Elijah took his mantle and rolled it up and struck the water. The water was parted to the one side and to the other until the two of them crossed on dry ground. When they had crossed, Elijah said to Elisha, "Tell me, what may I do for you before I'm taken away from you?" Elisha said, "Please let me inherit a double share of your spirit." He responded, "You have asked a hard thing. Yet if you see me as I am being taken from you, it will be granted to you. If not, it will not." As they continued walking and talking, a chariot of fire and horses of fire separated the two of them, and Elijah ascended in a whirlwind into heaven. Elisha kept watching and crying out, "Father, Father, the chariots of Israel and its horsemen." But when he could no longer see him, he grasped his own clothes and tore them into two pieces. He picked up the mantle of Elijah that had fallen from him and went back and stood on the bank of the Jordan. He took the mantle of Elijah that had fallen from him and struck the water, saying, "Where is the Lord, the God of Elijah?" When he had struck the water was parted to the one side and to the other, and Elisha went over. When the company of prophets who were at Jericho saw him at a distance, they declared, "The spirit of Elijah rests on Elisha." They came to meet him and bowed to the ground on the ground before him. The word of the Lord.
The first Father's Day sermon I ever preached was 1 month after my father's death. It was both cathartic and necessary. But fortunately, 14 years later, I experienced Father's Day in a more multidimensional way. And I know that you might be experiencing this day in different ways. You may be sitting next to your father right now, or missing your father. You may be longing to be a father, enjoying being a father, struggling being with a father, or be heartbroken at the loss of a child or a child's struggles. You may have had a wonderful dad. You may be a wonderful dad. You may be married to a wonderful dad, or you may be haunted by memories of a failed father. All of these aspects of fatherhood and more are addressed in Scripture And all of them are nested inside our relationship with God the Father. Sometimes the best way to capture the spirit of a relationship is in a snapshot. I don't know if you're a Memorex memory person or a snapshot memory person. What I mean by that is I have friends whose brains store all of their memories in one continuous, connected, high-definition film. That's not me. Not quite sure what I had for lunch yesterday. But more of a snapshot kind of memory person. Snapshots can be visual or they can be a vivid short story. For example, when we were growing up, my father worked a 150-acre farm and had a full-time job in a company that was a subsidiary of AT&T. I can picture him on the weekends working in the barn, which was rough and smelly and dirty, listening to the Metropolitan Opera on the radio or listening to Yankees baseball on the radio. I can picture a summer when I was in college and he got me a job at his company. Kind of hoped and expected, because he was in management, that I'd get a nice, cushy office job where I could wear skirts. Nope. I think quite intentionally, he got me a job working on the floor of the warehouse, but it was worth it. I can picture commuting with him to that job every day at 6 a.m., laughing and listening to one particular country song they played over and over on the radio that summer. It was about a forlorn suitor, and the punchline of the song is, "That's my girl, that's my whole world, but that ain't my truck." I also have some powerful snapshots of the week my dad died in my head, but I had covered those in that first Father's Day sermon. I share these snapshots not to be indulgent, but because I know you have your own, and I want to honor those. I also share them because a snapshot can say so much about a relationship. Snapshots don't narrate the whole development of a relationship, but they capture significant aspects of it. The Bible is full of snapshots that capture the essence and the impact of a person's life and relationships. One of those snapshots is this brief, vivid story about Elijah the prophet and his spiritual son, Elisha, and what happened to them on the last day of Elijah's life on earth. It's a story of a time in the 9th century BC, but we see a human father figure at work, and we see God the Father at work. Elijah and Elisha were not related by blood. We know absolutely nothing about whether the prophet Elijah was married or had a family. And for his part, Elisha was a young man who lived with his own biological mother and father. But one day, having been told by God that young Elisha would become prophet in his place, Elijah, the well-established prophet, sought out the younger man who was plowing a field. It was an odd beginning because Elijah threw his mantle over Elisha in a very physical sign of what was to come. Elisha asked to say goodbye to his parents, had a final meal with them, and then set out to follow Elijah and become his servant. A servant is different than a son, but over time, Elisha would become Elijah's spiritual son. From the very beginning, Elijah, the great prophet, demonstrated a quality of good fatherhood, which is to willingly seek out anoint and cultivate the next generation. Being threatened by the next generation is a sign of vanity and a lack of trust in God's providence. Even the most powerful and beloved patriarchs must pass on the mantle at some point. And the most faithful ones plan for that rather than fight it. We don't know exactly how Elijah and Elisha's relationship unfolded, because Scripture is most focused on how God the Father was working through both of them and using them in his mission. But by the end of Elijah's life, we have a powerful snapshot of a spiritual father and son pair. Elijah and Elisha were not the only such pair in the Bible. Their story purposefully echoes that of Moses and Joshua. And later on came Paul and Timothy. In each case, the younger man was the successor of the older man in his God-given work. But the relationship was much more than an apprenticeship. In them, we see love and loyalty, coaching and counsel that are models for all fathers and all father figures. And we see a manifestation of how God the Father wants us to relate to all of this. Love and loyalty are on full display in the opening scenes of Elijah's last day with Elisha. The story describes a roundabout walk among several places that are about a few miles apart, with a conversation that's repeated three times. Each time, Elijah, the seasoned older prophet, says to his younger companion, Elisha, "Stay here, for the Lord has sent me on to the next place." Each time, Elisha replies, "As the Lord lives and as you yourself live, I will not leave you." When he says this, it comes across not as disobedience, but as tender and committed. Repeated three times, it's a strong assertion of loyalty, just as Peter's denial, repeated three times, was a devastating betrayal of loyalty. If this was a test, Elisha passed, and he proved his worthiness to be a spiritual heir. The first two rounds of this scene conclude with the company of prophets approaching Elisha. The company of prophets. They approach him and they say quite unhelpfully, "You know your father figure is going to die today, right?" Both times Elisha says, "I know, be silent." This is the biblical way of saying, "Shut up." The company of prophets was a prophetic guild, like a union, or in DC terms, maybe a trade association. And these prophets would have been followers of Elijah too. But in that moment, they were outsiders, the ones stating the obvious, hanging out on the edges of the journey, spreading negative energy. I can see why Elisha told them to shut up. Their chattering wasn't going to change anything that was about to happen. In modern terms and in modern times, if you have ever been close to someone who's died of cancer, you know that when the end comes, the outside world recedes for a while. Whether it's for a few days or a few hours, there's a private journey to be made by a very small circle of people. And everyone else is just kind of hovering on the edges. Well, finally, the company of prophets hovering on the edges did shut up. They stayed on the home side of the Jordan River while Elisha and Elijah crossed over it. Like Moses, Elijah is endowed with power from God to interact with the natural world in supernatural ways. He strikes the water with his rolled up mantle, and the water recedes. And not incidentally, when they cross the Jordan, they're in the same territory where Moses died. The next part of the story is the final conversation. You remember it if you've ever had one. Elijah, the father figure, says to Elisha, "Tell me what I may do for you before I am taken from you." This is a father figure who is still giving, still pouring into the other, even in his last hours. Elisha's reply to this question actually cements their relationship as spiritual father and son. Elisha's request is, "Please let me inherit a double portion of your spirit." This sounds a little greedy. Like maybe Elisha is asking to have twice as much of the Lord's spirit as Elijah ever did. But in context, that's actually not what's going on. In a Hebrew tradition, which goes to the legal provision of Deuteronomy 21, 15 to 17, the firstborn son receives a double portion of the father's inheritance. So for example, if they were two sons, the inheritance would not be divided in half. The elder son would get two-thirds, and the younger son would get one-third. So Elisha is asking to have the status of Elijah's firstborn son and asking to receive more of his spirit than any other prophetic heir. Sounds oddly transactional, but Elisha has made a wise request in seeking God's spirit to be with him. He is referring to the God-given gift of spiritual power, which in the Old Testament is sometimes shared and conferred. For example, in Numbers 11:16, the Lord says to Moses, "Gather for me 70 of the elders of Israel. I will take some of the spirit that is on you and put it on them." Okay, but Elijah's response is not an automatic yes. A good father knows what is his to grant and what is God's to grant. Father figures can love and train, support and guide. Their spiritual sons and daughters can love and listen, strive, make good choices and obey. But ultimately, there are some outcomes that neither can control. So Elijah says, "You have asked a hard thing. Yet if you see me as I'm being taken from you, it will be granted. If not, it will not." It's a hard thing because a human being can't allocate God's power. The power comes from God the Father and is his to grant. Elijah knows that he and God have been preparing Elisha to be his successor, but he leaves the final decision up to the Lord. The sign will be whether Elisha can see this mystical ascension as it occurs. Now, this is all building up to some pretty fiery drama, but there's a calm and lovely phrase that comes first. "As they continued walking and talking." This is what good fathers do. If you're wondering how to be a good father or father figure, this is where to start. Walk and talk. Walk through daily life together with your child or your spiritual sons and daughters as much as you can. Walk through the hard places. Walk with your spouse. Walk through the pain and the changes. Walk the moving boxes up the stairs of the dorm. Walk into the hospital room. Walk into the awkwardness. Don't run away. Walk through the joys, too. Walk down the aisle. Walk the baby so the new parents can get some rest. Walk around the city that you didn't want them to move to in the first place and help them to make it home. But don't just walk. Talk. Talk about how much you love them. Talk about Jesus. Talk about the lessons you've learned in your life. Talk about how God has been at work in your life. Talk about justice. Talk about death. Talk about the spiritual inheritance you want them to have. Talk about the ways that Jesus' followers live differently in this culture. Talk about how big things are at stake in the little things. Keep talking and keep listening. Because the day will come when a chariot of fire or a common ordinary hearse will separate you. Elijah got the dramatic exit. A chariot of fire and horses of fire separated the two of them, and Elijah ascended in a whirlwind to heaven. Now, note that the text doesn't actually say that Elijah rode up to heaven in a chariot, but Swing Low, Sweet Chariot is still an awesome song. Both fire and whirlwinds are signs of God's presence in Scripture. Chariots are a symbol of power and victory. Enemy nations may have intimidating armies of chariots and horses, but God is Israel's secret weapon. In this moment, Elisha could see God's power at work, and he could see something utterly extraordinary happening with his spiritual father. And so Elisha cries out, "Father, Father, the chariots of Israel and its horsemen." Interestingly, later, when Elisha is on his own deathbed, King Joash of Israel addresses him using the same phrase. Father is the traditional title for the head of one of those prophetic guilds, one that would be used by a disciple addressing his master. It captures perfectly the fact that we have spiritual fathers as well as biological fathers. Perhaps they are the same person for you. Perhaps they are not. Our spiritual fathers are the one who point us to God the Father. They are the ones who tell us the story of our adoption, made possible by the sacrifice and resurrection of Jesus Christ. They are the ones who walk and talk with us when we are in the middle of the desert. They are the ones who demonstrate that fatherhood is more than genetic replication. I recently read a story about two best friends, both African-American men, who met as freshmen at Princeton University. Both men had been raised by single mothers in tough circumstances, and they were determined to be strong, faithful fathers. 5 years ago, one of those men dropped dead unexpectedly at age 50, leaving behind a wife and a 12-year-old son named Jared. The surviving best friend, Roland Warren, is a Christian leader and writer. He knew that Jared, the 12-year-old boy, was going to need a father figure. In fact, more than one father figure. So together, a group of male friends, mostly but not all African-American men, banded together to make sure that Jared had fatherly support and guidance of every kind. What began as mentoring turned into so much more. They adopted him as a spiritual son and have walked and talked with him constantly. This is a true story. This month, Jared graduated from Episcopal High School in Virginia. And every single one of that group of a dozen father figures was at his graduation. This fall, Jared will go to Princeton, and his father figures will keep on walking and talking with him the whole way. Good father figures reflect the goodness, guidance, and love of God our Father. Now, we have to acknowledge that there are also bad father figures. They highlight the contrast between God the Father and imperfect human fatherhood. In some situations, God the Father is the only source of hope for both justice and redemption, because they may not be achievable in this life. Someday, all father figures, good or bad, will pass the mantle to the next generation. After the drama and the emotion of saying our goodbyes, eventually there will come a silence. A silence in which we will look around and wonder, what next? A silence in which we will ask, is my spiritual inheritance enough? Do I have what it takes to continue the mission God has given me? At the end of this story, Elisha picked up Elijah's mantle that was lying on the ground. I suspect he looked at it and turned it over in his hands and twisted it a few times. Then he went back and stood on the bank of the Jordan and struck the water, asking, "Where is the Lord, the God of Elijah?" At that point, I'm not sure Elisha knew what was going to happen next. But the water parted, and he crossed back over the Jordan. He crossed back over to his people. He crossed back over to a country whose politics were in turmoil. He crossed back over to speak truth to power. He crossed back over to meet kings who would listen and kings who would ignore him. He crossed back over to those who would repent when they heard his message and those who would not. He crossed back over to bring the word of God. He crossed back over to carry on the mission. The power of God had clearly been transferred. Even the dubious company of prophets said, "The spirit of Elijah rests on Elisha." And they bowed to the ground before him. And that was the first day of the rest of Elisha's life. Elisha had lost his father figure, but not the spirit of the living God. God intends for the mantle of his mission and his power to pass from generation to generation. God equips those whom he calls with the gifts and the power they need. Who are the spiritual fathers whose legacy you carry? Who has shaped you and molded you and discipled you as a follower of Jesus Christ? Today is a good day to thank them and to thank God for them. Now ask, who needs you to be their spiritual father or mother? Today is a good day to ask for God's help as you walk and talk with them. God the Father will be with you today and always as you carry out the mission. Let us pray. God and Father of us all, thank you for the positive father figures in our lives who have pointed us to you and reflected your character. Help us to carry forward the best of their legacy and show us the relationships where we are called to be spiritual mothers and fathers. Where we are bereft and alone, sweep in with your power and your presence to comfort and guide us as the perfect Father. May we live for your higher purposes, which extend from generation to generation. We pray in the strong name of Jesus. Amen.